Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The show is about to begin.
Welcome to the podcast, Conscience That Made Us. Interviews and stories, tales from the bus. We love taking you back to when it all went down. The greatest live shows and that cheering crowd sound. It's Concerts, Concerts That Made Us, ConcertsThatMadeUs.com.
Hello, everyone. We're Chase the Clement. My name is Nika.
My name is Alex.
And you're listening to
Concerts That Made Us.
Alex, you're very welcome to Concerts That Made Us.
Thank you so
Hello
much.
Hello there.
I feel like we have a lot to talk about. I mean, you guys, aside from the new album, you guys have a pretty interesting story. Back in 2016, you took the brave decision to leave your successful music career in Russia behind to try achieve the American dream. First of all, tell us about your careers back in Russia.
It was pretty interesting. I'll start. So Apart from having a band together with Nika, Nika was the singer and I played the guitar. The band was called My Rock Band at the time. We also were parts of some different projects and bands. For instance, I played for a band called Jack Action. And with this band, we opened up for Metallica, Muse, Linkin Park, Guana Apes, Hollywood Undead, etc., etc. So it was pretty huge back then in terms of...
Still like, is, huh?
It is. I mean, in terms of like playing live shows and gaining some experience as a musician, like huge audiences, huge venues. And Nika was, she was doing the backing vocals for another pretty big band, pretty big punk rock band, Russian band. Called Tarakani. So we kind of, we thought at that time that it's going great right now. So why not explore some new territories? You know, this is why we felt brave enough and we felt encouraged enough to go to the United States and see what's there for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, we had some movements with our bands, different bands.
Sure.
We took part in a TV project, you know, back in the day. Remember, they were popular, like musical TV projects. So we took part in one of those projects. There was a project for solo artists first in 2007. And then the next was for bands, actually. So we went to the finals. But I can't say this really like worked fantastically for us. It was mostly, you know, experience. And then we have always been that type of band that had to move themselves, you know, they had to like do all the things. Like we have never had a manager. We have never had people who would do all the work for us. So we had to be, you know, those musicians who
our like, own managers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not that you only like write music and songs and then perform and, you know, get to like talk to the fans. No, you actually have to do the hard work.
Yeah.
Book tours. You have to post on your socials. Well, now
I guess this is what many musicians of these days of nowadays don't know about, is that, you know, you have to put in so much work, so much hard work.
Well, it's nowadays not, they actually do know.
Yeah, they do, but it's still some people live in a like in a dream that, you know, if you write some good songs and if you write some good tunes and melodies, this is it, you're good, like everything is going to happen for you in the best possible way. But turns out you have to work really hard. And one part of your brain is the creative brain, and another part of your brain is like the technical brain, the marketing part of the brain and stuff. So you got to learn many things in order to go on with your career and with your band. So it's like we had a lot of things to explore and to cover up. Yeah.
I could imagine. And when you guys got to the States, then what sort of challenges did you face in getting your music heard?
Oh man, it was very difficult because well, first of all, we pretty much didn't know anyone.
We were classical immigrants, you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so we came, we knew like literally, you know, a few people from back in Moscow. Obviously, they were Russian speaking. And it really helped us, you know, but we didn't have money. We didn't have connections. We didn't have musicians to play in our band, right? Because we've always been band people and, you know, we're lucky to have each other, right? And, you know, it's worth noting that we first started playing together and only then we started dating, right? And then, yeah, and only then later, like, down the road, we got married and, you know, we're still together in all ways. But we still needed to find people who would play drums and bass, you know.
It's basically about starting over again, like from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, like you, but we were lucky to have the material. So we had the songs, we had the backing track, the computer, you know. So what we needed was a drummer and a bassist, and we found two Russian-speaking people at first.
I would say, to kind of like, long story short, to sum it up, I would say the challenge was finding the musicians that would match our level, because, you know, once you go perform at arenas and you know, you're like the top-notch musician in your country, and then in America, obviously you can't afford to pay top-notch musicians to play in your band. right? So you have to find that perfect balance of like people who are ready to invest their time into the band and who are good at the same time. So that was the first challenge music wise. And then in all other fields, I would say, of course, the challenge was, you know, to get legal, right? Which was the biggest challenge, and which lasted up until 2020.
Yeah.
Well, actually, even later, because like it took us years to get legal. And what happened to us, again, like a few years in, we learned that we had been out of status. So unintentionally, we became illegal immigrants, and we didn't even know about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that that was something that we learned when it had been 2 years and nothing was moving, and we had been working with a lawyer, and then we an investor was interested in working with us. So obviously we needed to sign an agreement and we would to make the money back. Right. So for that, we would need to be able to legally work in the United States. And that was the moment when we had to find a new lawyer, and they told us like, oh, you guys had been illegal for quite a while now. So imagine the shock.
Oh my God. And
so yeah, the second you leave the country, you're going to face the 10 years ban from entering the country. So it's like, we were very stressed out because of that. And at the same time, we were doing good, like musically in the United States. So we were touring, we had a solid band, you know, we had a nice live performance, like visual wise, you know, like the lyric videos
on stage.
And like lights, everything. So we were a professional band who would love to go on tour and perform, you know, and take it to the next level, but our legal status was against us.
Yeah, so of course, you know, to pay for all the legal expenses, you need to work and like invest money both in the legal questions and into the band, and to provide for yourself, you know, like we all do, right? Like rent and food, all that stuff. So I would say like these were the three biggest challenges, and they were all intertwined and connected to each other. And the problem was also that since we were illegal, we didn't have a right to work legally.
Mm-hmm.
And that also limited our opportunities and, you know, our options work-wise, right? But we were still able to find those options. And you know, thanks to all the amazing people, both people in LA who helped us, you know, to survive, and told the fans who, you know, who supported us both financially and just like sharing our music and listening to our music. I think, you know, that was the best drive behind all this, all these unimaginable, you know, just like pushes all the time that we had to do. I'm not sure we can even go through that again ever, but, yeah,
it has formed us, I'd say, and shaped us the way we are right now, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, yeah.
Sometimes it seems like, you know, I'm broken to beyond repair.
This is the price you pay for your sense of curiosity. And I mean, like, we could have stayed in Russia. We could have, you know, be doing what we were doing. And, you know, it's like we were just super curious and eager and hungry to go and explore and see what's next. Because we were obviously big fans of American culture, like music and movies, and especially California, Los Angeles. It was a big dream. So we went for it. And this is the price, I guess.
Have you ever been to California?
No, actually, I've never been to the States. I'm dying to get over there at some stage.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
We were trying to.
It's the same kind of thing, though. We're so exposed to American culture over here.
Especially the language, you know, it gets you closer to the culture.
Yeah. Mm.
Because we had to learn it, especially me. Nika was great at English, like natural. And I struggled a lot.
Let's not, you know, remove the facts, right? I'm a certified interpreter. I speak three languages. Well, actually four now. But still, you know, it was that learning curve, which happens anyway, even if you know the language, even people who come to another country knowing the language and actually speaking it, it's still a different culture.
Sure.
And it's still that, you know, that effort that you have to take to just build your life from scratch, differently, mm-hmm. right? Because of course you reproduce what you had already had, right? And we noticed it. It was crazy how like we basically reproduced what we had had before in Moscow. And then I remember we even like we had a falling out about that when I told him, like, you're not coming to a different country to reproduce what you had already had. You
it
are
has
coming
to be somewhat better. Yeah.
You have to like understand you achieve a certain level and then you have to figure out how you can move on and build upon what you have already, you know, learned. Right? So for us, I guess the next level was starting to travel and become some kind of like the musicians of Bremen. I don't know if you have heard.
No.
You know, well, it's something that I thought was coming like from like German tales.
Just the traveling musicians, you know.
Grimm Brothers, yeah. So anyway, like the musicians that travel and that are not like linked to a certain place, because that's what has always scared us, you know, to be that one person who like works 9 to 5 and only plays in a band, you know, for holidays or like to
in,
get
in
to
the garage.
Yeah, in the garage. And plays a show like once in 6 months. And don't get me wrong, I don't see anything bad in it for other people who
it's cool.
Yeah, if who are happy.
That is your goal, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like if people are happy and they're doing it for fun and that's enough for them. You know,
just
I'm
for us,
jealous.
You know, the life happened the way that we saw so many great things in music, especially when you share the stage with Linkin Park or Muse or Metallica, and you see how big you've already gotten in this field, in this area. You want this to go on. You want this to be growing and, you know,
you want those
expanding
audiences to be yours.
Yeah, to be yours. Not just because you open up for such great bands, but because you've achieved something yourself and, you know, this audience is yours. Yeah. Nick is right. It's like there's a guy, the theater director, Stanislavski, the Russian guy. And he once said, it's not the direct quote, but like once you felt the, what is it called? The stage dust are addicted to it. So it's like, it's impossible to forget about it. So like this is like a drug, you know, you get addicted.
That's for sure. And you know, something I'm intrigued by and something I know my listeners and viewers will be intrigued by is something we never get exposed to over here is what is the Russian music scene like? Is it very vibrant? Is it similar to the American music scene?
It's interesting because as of now, I am as a blogger. I am
okay. Let me do the introduction.
Sure,
go ahead. So last year, Alex, there was a series about a Russian band that inspired Alex to create his own band back in
million
years ago. So he recorded a video about the series, like just a short reel. Just a short review, like mistakes in this series, because he's a hardcore fan. And so that started his YouTube channel, which has now gained almost 50,000 subscribers.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's his biggest resource as a Russian speaking blogger, mm-hmm. right? He is now making videos like he does all types of videos for that channel, you know, musical videos, and he talks about different bands. But of course the core is that one band that inspired him, and you know, the scene. So now Alex is going to tell you a little bit more about
it. It brings me the most of my traffic, but also like all of a sudden I was so pissed and annoyed by the fact that here in Tashkent, everyone plays covers. Like you don't get to see any original music here because like, doesn't matter where you go, you see the cover bands like one place or another. And I got so pissed that I officially announced that you guys can send me over your music and I'm going to share it on my platform, because I'm so fucking pissed of like hearing, you know, Wicked Game or some It's My Life by Bon Jovi, you know. Great,
they're not the worst.
Great song. Great song.
There's some more like Russian like, songs
yeah,
that
sure,
Alex
sure,
hates
sure.
more.
Yeah, but I'm tired of hearing this and I want to hear something new, something something different, you know? And this is what I've been doing for the last like 2 weeks, I think. I've worked with maybe 12 or 13 bands as of now, and they are very diverse, you know, like different genres, different quality of the music. But what I can say is that it's grown, the quality. So like back in maybe early 2000s, when I was a teenager, the quality of the music was like worse, obviously, right? Yeah. Now bands are, they know how to record themselves, how to mix themselves and master and stuff. But I mean, it's pretty interesting. It gets me back to my, not childhood, teen years. Yeah, when I was exploring some new bands.
When we were just starting.
Yeah. And I love it. And I love giving them the platform to be heard and to be seen.
So answering your question about the scene. Diverse, so basically, unfortunately, the majority of the people in Russia listened to the music that was from, you know, the early 2000s, the 90s. There's if we're talking about,
we call it retromania.
Yeah. People are obsessed with, you know, old stuff, and which is good, but at the same time, you know, this creates the problem of not wanting to hear new stuff, right? Yeah. And I feel like that's something that not only happens in Russia and Russian speaking countries, but all over the world nowadays. Another thing that is happening right now due to the war, since a lot of artists and also like newer artists that are quite popular both in the rock scene and in the pop scene, a lot of artists spoke out against the war that Russia started against Ukraine, and that's why they were banned in Russia. So that literally killed anything good that could have been happening there, you know, music wise, because now the artists that are on, you know, that are in top charts, those are artists who specifically support the war. And most importantly, what happened recently, there were some artists who didn't say anything, right? They didn't say anything against, or they didn't say anything like pro supporting the war. Yeah. And they were banned. They were put in the blacklist.
Oh, man. The
government is now pushing them to go and support the war if they want to keep performing, if they want to keep, staying.
Keep their jobs.
This situation has killed the competitiveness.
So
it's not competitive anymore in terms of like, so Nika was mentioning. So it's like type B bands right now in the charts.
If not C,
because all the decent bands, they have left the country. So
yeah, that's what's happening right now. And well, I mean, what can you expect if the best minds have left the country? If the best people who knew something about culture, who knew something about good music, you know, good literature, who traveled the world.
They were just smart enough to see what nightmare this was, and they left immediately.
What we have right now is basically a country of, rednecks and prisoners.
Pretty much.
And those who are smart, they are just, you know, keeping silent because nobody wants to go to jail.
But it's hard to keep silent these days. So they push them to say something like a political statement, you know. So if you are just silent, it's not good enough anymore.
Yeah. What's tough?
My God. That's crazy. I'm blowing. I get the feeling like that's going to end up holding the culture in Russia back like 30 years for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez. Would you guys ever see yourselves going back and trying to make a go?
Not during this regime, dude, because I mean, we have our families back in Russia. We miss them dearly, and it's tough.
That's
for
partially us. Why we are in Uzbekistan, and we have discussed it before we started recording, right? So Alex mentioned we're in Tashkent.
It's our neutral territory.
Yeah. So we spoke out explicitly against the war and against everything the current political regime is doing, both in Ukraine and to its own citizens, right? Like Alexei Navalny, you have heard of him. So at this point, we're the traders. To be honest, we're proud to be the traitors of this regime. We're patriots. We would love to see the country where we were born, you know, succeed and develop and grow into this beautiful cultural state. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen anytime soon unless, you know, there's a revolution. And of course, we can't, you know, we can't do anything, just the two of us. So the minimum we can do is create, you know, our songs, though we have noticed that doesn't really work with people. The people brainwashed by the propaganda, they can't hear any arguments, you know, mm-hmm. that are different from what they hear every day on TV. We just support the good, you know, that's what we're about as musicians, as people. We're on the good side. We're Harry Potter, you know, we're Frodo. Sam.
Against Voldemort.
Exactly. Yeah. We're nerds and we love to stay just and fair. And that's what we're trying to do, at least, you know, using our small resources. Trying to do the right thing.
I like it. I suppose we better chat about your new album at some stage. It'd be a bit redundant if we'd done the whole podcast and didn't mention the album. Tell us all the details.
Well, we have just released a new album that is called Ill You Mean Nation, Part 1, Inception. And I think everything that we have discussed so far adds up very nicely to the meaning of the album, to the songs that are on the album. We have one song that was inspired by Alexei Navalny. It's called Hero. We have songs that we wrote, you know, in 2020.
Yeah, so those songs were reflecting on the situation, like the post-COVID era, I'd say. So it's not like we were really talking about the war, because the record was ready in 2021, to be honest. Yeah. And we were just looking for the label to release it. But somehow it speaks with the events that are happening right now today in the world.
Yeah. And our main idea through this album, you know, is to get the listener where they are at right now, which I think we're all kind of going through this, you know, hard time, more or less, right? Going back and forth, like, oh, I think I'm better now. No, I'm still depressed and, you know, everything sucks. So since, you know, we're human beings as well, and we're very susceptible to everything that's going on around us, we wanted to share that feeling and, like, let people know that we, you know, they're not alone and we feel the same. And then together, by the end of the album, we'll lift them up to giving them, you know, probably a little bit of hope.
Yeah, so you can see we specifically put all our sad songs in the beginning of the record. So it's like you start with a dark mood, but then you lift yourself up towards the light. And this is what our record is about, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what we're about as a band too, right? Like, you know, yeah, things suck.
Yep. And we have to admit it and acknowledge that and just move on from there.
Yeah, and find a way to find that hope, to find that motivation that keeps us moving, that gives us, you know, the ability to enjoy the moment, even though we understand, like bad things happen and they are going to keep happening unless we find something worth living for, unless we find something that makes us happy at least in the current moment.
The coping mechanism, probably.
Yeah, so that's what the album
something
is about.
Something to keep you sane.
I love that. And, you know, when you complete a body of work such as this album, then how do you look back on it in your mind?
It was pretty challenged, I think.
It's very interesting, you know, because we recorded this album and we did a little bit of label shopping. It was also a long wanted goal. You know, we wanted so much. And by that moment, we felt so burned out by everything that had happened before, you know, and we didn't know, like, if there was any point in, like, moving forward at all, you know, with everything happening around us. And then eventually we found Pavement Entertainment, with whom We released this album on March 1st. But before we took, like, we signed an agreement with them last year. And then we took a break from music. We went to the we went to Argentina. We lived in the forests in Colombia. And we were exactly like trying to see if, you know, if we can want to.
Still got the juice.
Yeah. If we can move on and do music and do the band and it, you know, everything.
Because we started very early on in 2005, we were like 15 years old. And since then we were just constantly, you know, like making music, performing, seeing what the next record would be, seeing what the next, trying to make it, what the next would be and stuff like that. So we never really considered like if we wanted to go on like potentially and consciously. So we were just like doing this because we are used to doing this, you know?
Half of our lives.
Yeah, last year we were taking a break and we were asking ourselves if this is still something we would love to be doing for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, well, we don't know about the rest of our lives, but we listened to the album.
I'm pretty positive about the rest of my life. And we're proud.
And
we're
proud. This is the most amazing thing we've done, you know, sound-wise, emotion-wise. Yeah. And like meaning wise, and the, like if we want to go on, we 100% should, without, you know, trying to reduce ourselves by thinking, oh, like we don't have enough views, oh, we only have like what, like 800 monthly listeners in Spotify or stuff like that. That doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because we decided, well, at least I decided, I don't know about Alex, I don't care how many people appreciate me or not. If they do, amazing. I'm grateful. But what's most important, I'm doing this for myself. And if I don't want to do this anymore, then I won't. And I'm pretty sure you feel the same about podcasting.
Yeah.
It matters because you want to do it. You enjoy doing what you do.
It's just liberating. Yeah. If you're honest to yourself, it's just like, it's way easier than you have to live up to someone's expectations.
And constantly wait to like deserve someone's approval. Like, I want more. More is never enough. You know, there's people with 1 million followers and they still feel lonely because there's people with like 100 million followers, right?
Yeah. There's always more you'll want. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And, you know, it's called Concerts That Made Us. So I have to ask you some concert related questions. I'm looking forward to hearing this now. We'll start off easy. As a concert goer, what concerts have made you?
Interesting.
You want to think a little bit? I can start.
Go on. Yeah.
Well, you know, most of the shows we've been to, we went to together, right? Okay. So I would say the concert that definitely made us both is the show that we attended back in 2013. We went to the Honda Civic Center in Anaheim to see Pink in concert. And that she totally blew our minds for me because she is that perfect combination of a woman who keeps her feminine energy, but at the same time she's, you know, impudent and she has that sass, you know, has that male energy. And I think that's something that speaks to me because I feel that I'm very similar to her.
She is also a crazy combination of rock music and pop music, so it's like
perfect
blend.
And then of course the energy that she gives while performing, while flying.
We were just crying. When she played the Bohemian Rhapsody, I was crying, man. It was so fucking
touching. it's just such an unimaginable combination of everything you're looking for in a performer. You know, the energy, the kindness, the sound, the professionalism of everybody in that show, right? Not just her, but all the musicians, the singers, the dancers. It was amazing. Seriously, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, if we're talking bands, because
we of course at Hollywood Bowl.
Yes, we got a chance to go to the Queen show in the Hollywood Bowl.
Adam Lapp, the singer, but you know, Brian May was there.
Roger
Taylor was there, so it's like
that was
two of the band members.
That was definitely a show that impressed me a lot. Adam Lambert is a fantastic vocalist. Like the technicality is amazing. For me, I was lacking a little bit of soul in there.
Right, right. Okay.
But what I was going to say about the Foo Fighters show that we went to in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
We specifically flew to Mexico to see the Foo Fighters live while we were in the States. That was also 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And the show was amazing. That was the first time we saw the Foo Fighters live. We saw them a few more times later. But I think it was mostly just the circumstances. And I think that's what's important. Sometimes it's not the artist that makes the show for us, but it's the circumstances and the, you know, sacrifices that we make, like that movie when, you know, they went to a Kiss show, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Detroit, Rock of the City of Rock.
Yeah, Detroit. Something with Detroit when they wanted so badly to get to the Kiss show.
Movies, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was. And the next day, we actually met Dave Grohl and the band when we went to the Pyramids.
Holy crap.
Yeah, because they had a day off.
Taylor Hawkins, and then we also had a picture with him.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say that. And then
I'd call that gig that we opened up for Linkin Park, obviously, because I played as a in the band as a guitar player. We opened up, and also I was able to what's the term of this to come you to come you to bring you in as my guest. So Mika was there, our bassist, who was a huge fan of Linkin Park too, was there, and my mom was there, and my sister was there. So I was able to bring in four people, and not only I was enjoying the show, but all my crew, you know, they were enjoying the show. And for them, it was very important, because for Nika and for the bassist who's now in Moscow, our former bassist, Linkin Park was always the number one.
The number one band.
I was respecting them. I was kind of loving some.
You took
some,
a picture.
Yeah, some Chester. Of the songs. Yeah, and we still have a picture.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
Yeah, and that was scenes. So, it was also a great evening in terms of, like, we played well, the sound was great, and also Linkin Park obviously played super cool, like, the sound, you could hear every single whisper, every single note, the sound was crisp and, like, powerful, and the night was just amazing, you know, it's like one for the books, and yeah, I'd call this gig probably as one of the most remarkable gigs in my life.
I'm not surprised. Oh my God. You've blown me away and I wasn't even there. And you know, the moment we're all waiting for, your own shows, for any listeners that haven't caught one of them, what are they like?
Well, I would say that our live shows are probably the most amazing. Like, I'm extremely proud of our live shows because, you know, I listen to a lot of artists, and for example, one of the bands that made us as musicians, as a couple, is Fall Out Boy. But when we made
and then their show in Los Angeles,
there was no energy. There was no soul.
Maybe they were tired. Maybe they were on tour. We don't know, but you know, it was just very boring and dull to see them live. I mean, the sound was awesome, obviously. But
yeah, Patrick sang his lungs out.
Yeah,
until his lungs gave out.
The energy was missing. And I think about us, we are capable of, if you are tired or if you are depressed or if you are in a sad mood and you're attending one of our shows, it gets you immediately. We turn the mood, you know, like we bring the energy, we bring the joyness, and the people start immediately feeling.
It's basically like a therapy session when you come to our shows. And that's what I always tell people. If you guys want the full impact of what's happening right now, you have to come closer.
Yeah.
And honestly, without, you know, false shyness, I will say this. Remember that video that was viral a while ago when there's like the most talented and famous violin player
in the metro,
playing in New York Metro, yeah. the most expensive violin in the world. People just pass by. That's what happens to us a lot, I would say. And people just don't understand. They're not used to seeing something so good happening in a small bar in somewhere, you know? And that was partially why we wanted to start working with a label, because
for some bigger crowds,
not because for our own, like, oh, I want bigger crowds. No, because our songs and our live performance is so good. We actually want to take it to the stage where people would be appreciative of that.
Yeah. We're also all about the energy. I mean, technicality, yes, of course. Nika is a very technical singer. Myself, I'm not really after playing like shredding the solos and playing like a million notes in the second. I'm more about the show itself. I'm more about the energy and the interaction with the audience. So I love that. So that's what's formed me as a musician, like the interaction, you know, like jumping and walking back and forth.
And having an eye contact, because we both hate watching musicians who are just focused on their instruments.
Or pedal boards.
Yeah, pedal boards.
Like, come on, guys.
And we also dress up. Like, I want you guys to have fun, not just enjoy the music, which is important as well, right? But I want you to be a part of the show. And for that, I need you involved. All your senses, the visual, the audio, and the kinesthetic. I want you to move your butt, not just stand there and be like, okay, let me check you out there.
It's for your own sake, because like the more you give to us, the more you get back. And it's like it's the energy exchange or whatever it's called. So it's important.
To be so we would totally recommend anyone who can attend our live show to do that, especially since nowadays it's so hard to get people, you know, disattached from their couches and go somewhere because, you know, everybody's got Netflix.
I love
it. So it's really worth it. And we're really hoping to have a few tours booked. Right now, we're not in the States, as I said, but we would really, really love to go and open up for some bigger bands to get that opportunity to put our show on bigger stages with, you know, the light that our shows deserve. And with the audiences that would be apprehensive of what we have to share with them. And of course, you know, our big dream is to sometime come to the UK and to Europe. We've never played shows in the UK or in Europe. So that would be our next goal.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be pretty cool. Pretty cool. And you know, before we dive into the last couple of questions, then, what's next? What's set in stone? Is there anything you can share with us?
In the second part of the record, because as Nika said, we just released the first part, which is called The Inception. So it's supposed to be the second part of the record. And this is what we're working on right now. We have a drummer here in Tashkent who helps me with some drum parts and arrangements, etc. So. Yeah. Technology has really made it easy to work remotely. And, you know, I'm enjoying the process, to be honest. So it's like having the opportunity to record your new album where you live, not going to the studio, and just then send files to the studio. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just send files back and forth, you know, AI technologies and whatnot. It's just, it's mind blowing. And I'm enjoying the process. I love being the musician in the 21st century.
I would say for me, the most important thing is to get back on track with playing shows.
Yeah.
And hopefully our label will help us with that, because for us, that was, as I said, the
main goal. Yeah.
The main goal of, you know, partnering with a label to get opportunity to take our performances to the next level.
Yeah.
Right. What stage is the second part of the record at? Is it written? Is it fully recorded? Is it half recorded?
We're not just pushing ourselves too hard. Yeah. To be honest, it's just we're taking our time. Yeah. And this time we have the privilege of, you know, you're working on a song and then you book a practice to go and play it live to see if all the parts, you know, match up and come together. And this is what we were lacking last time with the previous record, because we were recording, you know, like drums separately. The drummer was located in Moscow and we were in the United States. And so we had to kind of, you know, make it quicker and rush a little. So this time we're just taking our time and seeing.
Yeah, because that's not the priority at the moment. Yeah. We would want to build our audience a little bit more before we actually give them something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Nice. I like it. We'll dive into the last couple of questions. So these are a couple of fun, weird questions, but I'm intrigued to see your answers. The first thing, what are you currently obsessed with? It can be a book, TV, music, anything.
Interesting. Eating, definitely eating.
Right.
There's one dish in Uzbekistan called plov. It's like rice with meat and maybe some onions, some carrot.
Spices.
Yeah. So, and also, yeah, the food is delicious here. Also, we started watching Lost. We never watched it, you know, the TV series. So we're kind of binging that.
In the beginning, right now.
Yeah. And also I'm playing the Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Right.
The latest game. Yeah. So that's what I'm obsessed as of now with.
Oh, cool. I'll have to try find a recipe for that dish and give it a go. Sounds interesting.
It's delicious.
It's somewhat similar to the Turkish pilaf. The name is similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the same, but it's kind of similar.
Every
national cuisine has rice in there, right? Yeah. Mexican or, you know,
Do you guys have something with rice in your cuisine?
I don't think so, actually. I'm sure if we looked hard enough, there probably is, but most of our like national dishes are based on potatoes.
I think rice is more like for southern cultures.
Yeah.
It's more for northern cultures. The same in Russia. Peter the First brought in potatoes from Europe.
From Netherlands, probably.
Interesting. The second question. If you had to spend 24 hours locked in a room with any musician from history, who would it be?
Lovely. You go ahead first.
I'd go with Freddie Mercury, I think. Yeah, I think we'd have a lot of fun.
For some reason, I want to say Rachmaninoff. I don't know why, but because probably rockers and, you know, the musicians from my field, I get that they are great and brilliant, etc. But to be locked in a room with a classical composer, you know, that would be something I've never really experienced in my life. So probably I'd say Rachmaninoff.
It's a good one. Here's where the weird part comes in. If your band had a superpower, what would it be and how would you use it on stage?
Oh, I'd be flying 100%.
I'd be not gaining weight, you know, like when you can eat whatever you want and you're still like fit.
Right.
That'd be my superpower.
On stage, I pretty much saw Michael Jackson fly with that jetpack.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would be doing that. I'd be just like literally flying. I wouldn't need those straps that Pink used. I would just be flying all over the place.
That'd be pretty cool. Pretty cool. And the final one, so what's your go-to album?
I would say it's what is it called? We had a friend who forgot his favorite band's name and I always make fun of him, but I did. Well, to justify him a little bit, that was like the death metal band, you
weird
know?
Logos.
Oh, know? Yeah.
So he
you
probably
can't really read them.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, is this what is this called? The album, my favorite album by Chunk No Captain Chunk.
I don't remember the title, unfortunately.
I think it's called Get Lost, Find Yourself. Here we go. Chunk No Captain.
So this is your final favorite record, right?
Yeah.
Mine would be, oh my God, there's so many. There's
okay,
so
do
many.
You have another hour? Because that might take a while.
Okay. Let it be Infinity on High by Fall Out Boy.
Yeah. One of my favorite albums as well. Yeah. Yes.
Great record.
Not bad. Good picks there. Listen, guys, I have to say, this was so fun. I've enjoyed it immensely. You guys, you have a great dynamic. You're so fun to chat to.
Thank you. Thanks, yeah, man. we had fun as well. Thank you for having us. And well, you know, hopefully maybe one day we'll meet in person.
Definitely. Definitely.
Maybe fingers Ireland crossed. Or in the United States, you know. Who knows?
Yeah, either or, I'm happy with.
Can't seem to find the right words to describe what I'm feeling now. It's been said a million times before, but I have never felt so down. Yeah, I know these last years have been hard on all of us. How do I move on from here? How to let go of the past despite all the thoughts that pull me
guys, I really hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify. And if you're interested in signing up to Band Builder Academy, use the link in the show notes below and enter the code CONCERTS and you'll receive 10% off. So, until next time, keep rocking.
Hey. Hey, what are you guys still doing here? The show is over.
It's over. You can go home. Go on. We'll see you next time. We'll be here. Bye.